The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Revival is not a church service with special meetings or gatherings of groups of people, although we call those revivals. We're talking about having a revival with Ryan Johnson, but those kind of things can happen in absolutely no revival. It just becomes another religious ceremony. All these things that I talked about are important, and we should gather together as believers in Christ. We should have meetings. We should press into God. We should pray. But those things are not necessarily a revival. It's not, it's even, it comes down to this, it's not even a time or a season of heightened spiritual activity or interest by people. Although that sometimes spurs on revival. Because when that happens, sometimes we just go through a period of time where we have a little bit of revival in our desire to serve God, and then it just kind of fades, and we go back to a time of church as usual. Being in church as usual, I'll tell you, is boring. And I don't want church as usual. I'm tired of church as usual. If I just want to be involved with an organization, I can go join the Gun Club or the Lions Club or any number of clubs. There's a lot of good organizations out there doing some things that are good works, doing lots of benevolent things, reaching out to people, serving people. And the church should be doing all those things. And I want to be involved in that. I want to be involved in this church that does things. I think we do quite a few things in our community. I thank God for our food pantry, for the outreach that we have, for our Bible school, for the classes, the teaching, the ministry that goes forth from this place, the thrift store, all the ministry that takes place from Bethel. There's, you know, I could go on and name many things that are happening here at Bethel Worship Center. But it's all nothing unless we walk in the power of God in our lives. Paul said that, you know, you can do all kinds of wonderful things, but without love, it's just a noise. So we really do need revival. I believe we need revival in the land. I think there's some stirrings going on. I think there's some places that revival is happening. It's starting to stir in different parts of the world, in the United States. But we need revival here. In our lives. When real revival takes place, people can't get enough of the presence of God. Some of the revivals that I've read about in church history, the Welsh revival in 1904, it was a time that through history, it was a very spiritually low time of the church. Churches, people were not going to church. Things were happening, particularly in Wales, but all over the world. Crime rate was very high. All kinds of things was happening in the judicial system. You know, there was lots of corruption. People just did not seem to have a heart for God. But for some reason, people of the church decided that they were going to begin to press into God. That they were going to get close to God, that they wanted more of God, that they needed to see God move in a mighty way. So they started praying and seeking the face of God. And when they did that, some things started happening. Revival started taking place. In fact, hundreds of people started getting saved. And it not only spread all across Wales, but it spread all over the world eventually. And we had an awakening to spiritual things. People began to desire. But here's one of the things that happened during that period of time. People got so, had so much of a desire for the things of God that they didn't want to leave their church services. They would come and the services would go on for hours, but after the service, they would hang around. That some of them would just hang around until the service started again. They would forget about normal life. There's one story about an old farmer that was sitting in a service that took place for like 2 days. He had been there. He suddenly jumped up and he looked at his wife and he said, "Mabel, we got to go home. We haven't milked the cow for 2 days. That's the kind of things that will happen. We'll forget about normal life when real revival hits, because everyone wants to press in to God. Everyone wants to have and receive and be in the presence of God. Real revival defines the church. Real revival will change your life. The question is, are we ready? Do we really want that kind of revival? Do we want our lives to be changed? Or are we happy? Linda made reference to it. We're just comfortable. Life's good. Sometimes it's too good. Let's not wait until there's persecution before we press into God. Let's recognize that the enemy is at the door. He's knocking. It's time for us to open the door and go out and confront him. The church is not to be on defense. We're an offensive group. We're an offensive team that Jesus Christ put together. And he said, go therefore. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. Preach the gospel wherever you go. Not even the gates of hell shall prevail against you. He's not saying that the gates of hell are going to press against us till we are just confined in our churches and safe there, knowing that God's going to take care of it. No, he's saying the gates of hell are out there, and we're going to attack them, and they're not going to prevail against us. The gates of hell are coming down when God's people rise up and realize who we are. Revival will confront old wineskins. It'll shake religion. It'll cause us to realize that some of the things that worked in the last revival are not necessarily going to work this time around. God does a new thing in his people, stirs us in new ways. It shakes religious attitudes. It changes religious dogma. It causes us to move in new ways that cause us to move away from outdated methods into new and renewed ways. Let me show you what revival looks like in the Scripture. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Now, we're all very familiar with this scripture. We refer to this as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit or the birth of the church. But what it is God's power being released in his people. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all there. They were in this place that Jesus told them to go and wait. Go to Jerusalem and tarry. Wait for me. Wait for the promise that I'm going to pour out. And of course, Pentecost was one of those times that all the Jewish men had to be in Jerusalem. One of the feasts that was required. So this place was packed. There was people everywhere, not just the disciples of Jesus, but all those who followed Judaism, were present because they were there for the Feast of Weeks. And it goes on to say, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, sometimes we make a big deal about this tongues thing. And yes, the Scripture does say that you, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's an evidence of speaking in tongues. And I believe that every person that receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit has the ability to speak in tongues. Not everybody exercises that ability. I've seen that so many times. Why? It confounds me. Because it's a gift that is given to us to be able to communicate with the Father in such a way that the enemy cannot hinder our prayers. And it's powerful. So I want to encourage you, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, exercise that gift. And the only way you're going to exercise that gift is just open your mouth and begin to speak. That comes from my spirit, not my mind. It comes from the power of God. And it ushers in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Every time I do that in my prayer life, the enemy is confounded and doesn't know what to do. When I pray with my logical mind, sometimes he can get in and he can take me off in new different directions. My thought process begins to go in ways that I never intended it to, because the enemy wants to get me off track. But I can tell you this, when I pray in the Spirit, the enemy has no inroad into my prayer life. And there's power released in that. That's why God is moving in these last days in people's lives, because we have the power. Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus never promised tongues. Tongues is not a bad thing. I'm not opposed to tongues. I pray in tongues. I believe in it. I pray in the Spirit. I believe in the gift of tongues and interpretation. I believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. There should be an operation in the church. They should be an operation in society. It's the only thing that's going to get us back on track. But that's not what Jesus promised. Jesus promised power in your life. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. It's power to be witnesses for Him wherever we go and whatever we do. Power and boldness to be able to confront the enemy, to confront sin, to confront ungodliness and pull down the strongholds of the enemy, to stand against the gates of hell and see them break down as we march forward as God's church and God's warriors, to see the power of God released. It's power that He promised us. That's what we get when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I got to tell you this. Something has to happen for God's people to walk in that kind of power. Even though we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, there are times when we just have to keep going back to repentance, to repentance, to repent. And I'm not talking about salvation here. You're saved if you receive Christ as your personal Savior. You're filled with the Spirit. You got... When you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have power that comes into your life, and it's up to you to exercise that power. But sometimes we get off track. We lose that enthusiasm that we once had for our Father. We walk away, we move away from our first love. And we need to repent of that attitude where we're just satisfied with our life. We're just satisfied with our church. We're just satisfied with our religious dogma, our religious approach to Almighty God. It's time for God's people to recognize there is a power that's waiting for us to move into so that we can pull down the strongholds of the enemy. And I got to tell you, I'm sick and tired of talking about it. I'm ready to see it. If this is all there is to the church, there's something wrong. Because when Jesus walked the face of the earth, he cast out devils. He laid hands on the sick. He did mighty miracles. And he said, he is either, this word is either real and Jesus is really the Messiah, or he's a fake and a liar. Because he said, these things that I do, you will do even greater. If even five of us in here would do greater works than Jesus Christ, can you imagine what would happen in our society? What would happen in our neighborhoods? What would happen in our nation, in our world? People thronged around Jesus because of the miracles and the power that he had. Could we handle it? I don't know. I pray that we can and we will. I pray that we will walk in that kind of power so that this world that we live in can be altered for good and for right and for God, for his kingdom. I've read some things about New Testament and Old Testament revivals. When you look in the Old Testament, you look into in Judges and Kings and Chronicles. And in Judges, it usually right before a revival took place or a judge would rise up that would do what was right in the sight of God. It said the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They were repenting. They were crying, God, we know you're there. Where are you? Why aren't you showing up? We know you're present. Come. Come and make yourself real to us. And he did. It was in the Kings and Chronicles. It always said it was prefaced, but when revival happened, it was always prefaced by these words. The king did what was right in the sight of God. We're talking about repentance here. We're talking about God's people recognizing what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We have a part in this. Our part is to humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, walk before him, know that he has a desire for us to operate in all the works that he's given us as a church. Charles Finney, who was a part of the Second Great Awakening, said this: revival comes from heaven when heroic souls enter the conflict determined to win or die, if need be, or win and die. That's where we have to come to in our lives. Are we willing to die? Maybe not physically, but are we willing to die to self? Are we willing to really put ourself and our selfish desires, our hopes, our dreams on the back burner and move forward to what God's desire is for our life, for the church, for the kingdom, for the nation? Where are we? Only you can answer that for yourself. I can answer it for me. I want more God. I want to press in to the presence of God. I want to receive the power of God. Revival is nothing else than just a new beginning with God. It can be an everyday occurrence. God is new every day, every morning for us. Second thing I want to ask you this morning, what is it going to take for the Holy Spirit to empower us for revival? G. Campbell Morgan said this, "We cannot organize revival, but we can set our sails to catch the wind from heaven when God chooses to blow up on his people once again." We can prepare ourselves. We can be ready. Finney said that revival is no more a miracle than a crop of wheat. What he was telling us is that revival will happen when we plant, fertilize, and water. We put the seed in fallow ground. When we fertilize it, we water it. Then God gives the increase. Revival comes when God's people do their part. When God's people press in. When God's people desire more. In Acts 1:4, if you want to turn there with me real quick. And I've already made mention of this. The first thing that I believe that we need to do to do what Jesus said. Be assembled together with them. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth." Power. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receive and experience that power in our lives. We must stop playing games with God. We've got to press in, press on, receive, walk in it. And that sometimes means that we're going to be uncomfortable with the things that God tells us to do or calls us into. That we're going to have to step out and experience and do things that sometimes may be a little bit fearful for us. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And when He is in it and we do it, the outcome will be heaven sent. It will be here. It will be all that we can expect and even desire. Revival's not locked up in heaven waiting for us to pray it down. I want you to understand that. For 2,000 years, revival has been available to the Church of Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years, some people have been entering in to that revival. Some have chosen to just live in the religious mindset. But some choose to come into the presence of God. And when they do, when individuals do it, it impacts a church. When a church does it, it impacts a community. When a community does it, it impacts the world. I believe with all my heart, God is getting ready to shake Bethel Worship Center. I'm glad that I have at least two people who agree with me. Hallelujah. Thank you. I know many more of you are agreeing. You're nodding your heads. I appreciate that. Amen. Do you need, you know something? Do we really believe it? We've got to get to the point where we do believe it without a doubt. Where we know that it's true. We know that God is pouring out. Because we've asked. Being baptized in His Spirit is an awesome weapon that we have to be witnesses for Him wherever we go. I want to encourage, this is not a message about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've shared that with you many times, and I'll do it again in the future. I'll give you scripture and prove to you from the Word of God that you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to have the evidence of speaking in tongues. You need the gifts of the Spirit that will operate in your life. You need it. The second thing we find in verse 14 in chapter 1 of Acts, I want to share with you this morning. And it says this. It says they all continued. Remember, Jesus said for them to go and tarry. And it said, these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They were all in one mind. They had unity. Unity in the body of Christ is essential for revival to take place. Unity, now it doesn't mean that everyone is going to agree on everything. It just means that we have a mind that God is going to do a work and we're going to be united in that work and move forward with Jesus Christ. There's going to be a few things that we may not always agree on. Some of you are not going to agree on a pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture. I don't care what you think about that. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that you know that Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's coming back for his bride. And he wants us to be without spot or blemish, any wrinkles. We are going to be perfect in all our ways because the blood of Jesus Christ is going to cleanse us all from inside out. It's the power that we have to recognize who we are. We need to be in one accord. These people were in one accord. But I want to tell you something. Here's what happened. Jesus told them to go. And according to Corinthians, Apostle Paul said that 5,000 people or 500 people saw Jesus. And Jesus told them to go and tarry in Jerusalem. I don't know whether all 500 went and tarried in the beginning or not. But we do know this. By the time the Holy Spirit was poured out, there was only 120 people there. Some of them got tired of waiting. Some of them decided that it was too long. Some of them had more important, maybe they had a cow to milk. I don't know. Some of them had things that they had to do. They just couldn't wait long enough. Can you imagine if you was that person that left a day before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Or 5 hours before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Or an hour? How about 10 minutes before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? You decided to go home. You missed it. But I can tell you this, as soon as it started happening, they come running back. Because everybody heard the commotion. Everybody heard what was going on. They heard them speaking in their own languages. They heard and saw the ministry of Peter and the apostles. They saw the power of God being poured out. They experienced it. Now, there were those who were naysayers, and there will always be naysayers in revival. There always has been, and there always will be. There are those who question the power of God. I don't care about them. What I care about is that God is released in his people. And we begin to rise up and do the work that he has called us about. Amen. We have a calling. We have a purpose. And the last thing I want to share with you is found in that same scripture. It said that they prayed, they were one accord, and they prayed continually. And they were in supplication. The last thing I want to share with you this morning is that we need to pray. We need to ask for the rain. God wants us to ask for the rain. Zechariah 10:1 says this. I love this scripture. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds, who will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Now, he's probably not talking about revival, but that's what I'm talking about. And I know that many times the scripture refers to the former rain and the latter rain in regards to the pouring out of God's Spirit upon his people. So the latter rain is the time that we are in right now. I want you to understand something. It's been raining for 2,000 years. Sometimes we choose to walk in the rain. Sometimes we choose not to. But when we really get serious about experiencing the rain, when we get serious about casting off the garment of religion, the garment of comfort, the garment of self, when we get serious about that, casting off our raincoat and running out into the rain and embracing the power of God in our lives, we will see some things begin to happen in our families, in our church, in our community, and in our world. Life is about to change, people. God's moving in a new and unique way. It's raining. Do you want to experience the rain? That's the question. We can. It's all ours to have. We're not going to get any more Holy Spirit than we have. He's been poured out. You receive him. You accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. You've got it. We have to walk in it. We have to let the rain cleanse us, prepare us, and bring us into the newness of the Spirit. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. But it's just like Chronicles. You know, it's a mirror image of what Chronicles says in the Old Testament. Because he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God hasn't changed his approach to us, and he doesn't expect us to change our approach to him. It's about repentance. It's about getting right. It's about coming before Almighty God and having expectation of his power. Tell you what, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Catherine Booth, who was the wife of William Booth, founded Salvation Army. She said this, she said, there is no improving the future without disturbing the present. She knew what she was talking about. She also said that she desired to live in the presence of the fire of God. And she wanted to hear men who were on fire. Now, she traveled all over the world. She heard some of the greatest preachers of her time. But she recognized unless those men were anointed by the Holy Spirit and there was a fire burning inside of them, their rhetoric meant nothing. It was just lots of sound without any real emphasis. In 1909, William Seymour, who was the African-American gentleman who spearheaded the Azusa Street Revival, was moved by God to begin praying. And a revival broke out. And people, by the power of God, was moved to just come. It was started on another street, and it eventually was moved to Azusa Street because it just became so big. They couldn't handle it. That revival has spread all over the world and touched thousands and thousands of lives. But it was all about the anointing and the power of God. It was about the presence. But here's what I want you to hear. William Seymour prophesied in 1909 that in 100 years, a revival would break out that would eclipse the Azusa Street revival and change the world. It's 100 years. It's time. I'm expecting it. I want to see it. I want to experience it more than anything else. I want it more than breath. Until we get to that point, it's not going to happen. We have to desire it more than our comfort, more than our pleasure, more than our day-to-day life. We've got to desire it beyond anything else in the world. We've got to press into God. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. The psalmist said this. I believe it's what we need. Psalms 42:1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The psalmist is saying, desire Him like you desire a drink of water on a cold, on a hot and dry day when you haven't had any for a long time. He's saying, you know where it is. You can come and get it. Press in. Desire it. Receive it. And then, and only then, will we experience the face of God. That's what He's desiring. God wants us to have a face-to-face relationship with Him. We desire His hand. We want to see His move. He wants a face-to-face relationship. That's what we desire today. That's what I desire. That's what I desire for you. That's what I desire for the Church of Jesus Christ. According to research done by the University of Southern California, the Azusa Street Revival in 1906 spread all over the world and has had a profound effect on religion, society, economics, and every sector of world government. This is a secular college that did a research. Not a bunch of Christians trying to find an outcome. They're just merely saying, when God pours out His Spirit, changes the world. I want the world changed. It needs it. We are in desperate need of a change. We are in desperate need of the power of God. We are in desperate need here in this place, the move of God. I'm in desperate need in my heart of a move of God. And we all know the world is in desperate need. Hallelujah. I'm just going to ask you this morning, ask the worship team, you'd please lead us. I'm going to open up the altar that we can come before the Lord this morning. Seek His face. Trust that He's going to cleanse us. He's going to cleanse our hearts. He's going to cleanse our hands. He's going to set us right before Him. Not that you're an evil people, I know most of you. You're good. You got good hearts and desire. But there's just times when we have to come before the Lord and say, God, I want more of You. Touch me. Because we enter into His presence right now. Altar's going to be open. Come. Receive from Him.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.